Well, good morning. It's so good to be back with you all here, and let me start by saying in my limited Greek lexicon, because I went to Greece for the better part of my sabbatical time away, ευχαριστώ, which means thank you. Thank you for the gift of sabbatical time. And know how grateful I am for the privilege of returning again to this, my spiritual home, to be with you in this wonderful community. But I have to say, folks, that I go away and you guys got to it. And what did you do? But you brought the presiding bishop in and he brought down the house. And not to be outdone, our Evensong choir just a couple of weeks ago were in England singing, and they got invited down to Canterbury Cathedral and became fast chums with the Archbishop of Canterbury. And I'm thinking, maybe I should go away more often. In all seriousness, though, I did know the PB was coming. The bishop and I had laid down that work. So many people put forth the effort to execute it flawlessly. Kathy and I watched the video from Europe, and I knew that you would be about the great hospitality that this place is known for, that you are the people of faith who call us all into community. So thank you for that evening and for all the ways that you have embodied what it means to be the body of Christ here in this place. You need to know the presiding bishop was still talking about his stay in Seattle weeks later when we were at General Convention in Austin, Texas. While y'all were doing all of that here, Kathy and I were over in Europe laying down some memories of our own, and I shared some of those in the forum at the last hour, but I want to share one in particular, one experience that happened one morning in early May, when we had just arrived on the island, the Greek island of Patmos, for what would become our six-week stay there. We were staying in a small house on the hillside overlooking Skala, which is the bayside village where the ferries come and go and the fishermen go in and out at all hours of the day and night. Just above us, above our home where we stayed, were the ancient Roman ruins of the Acropolis. And then across the valley, on the other side of Skala, was the sister mountain atop which sits Hora, the town which was populated in the 12th century and where the monastery, the Orthodox monastery, still stands. Were it not for that monastery, it's unlikely that Patmos would be inhabited at all today. There are about 1,000 residents between the two villages, collectively, and there's a cobblestone path that has connected them for centuries with the Cave of the Apocalypse about midway up the trail. The Cave of the Apocalypse is reportedly where St. John received his vision that we know as the Book of Revelation in our Bible. But on this particular morning, we had hiked up to Hora, as we did multiple times in our stay, and after visiting the monastery, we wandered through the narrow streets of Hora for a time, just exploring a little. But all right, so to say that they were streets is overstating it. They're little bitty winding lanes with row houses on either side. There's no grid or pattern to this little village, and we were just wandering this way and that. No cars are allowed in the interior of this village, only people on feet and small motorcycles. The buildings are all painted white, typical of the Mediterranean style. And the residences are connected one to another. And so you're walking down a lane and all you have is a phalanx of front doors on one side that are going with the lane this way and that. And they all look very similar. And, well, there are no street addresses on the island of Patmos either. But you always had the monastery at the top of the hill to get your bearings. At one point on this early morning, we picked up a delicious aroma from someone baking with butter and cinnamon. You know that smell, right? Butter and cinnamon. You get cinnamon. You got it now? We were like hound dogs on the scent. making this turn and that through those narrow lanes, trying to locate the source. We'd lose the smell and backtrack till we got it again, finding another winding lane that took us down one and then another and another until we finally got to its source, a tiny little bakery from whence it came. And we stepped over that small hearth, and a woman greeted us warmly. Kalimera, good morning. She knew very little English, and we were trying to attempt to explain that we were after that scent. She didn't understand that. She pointed to some cookies in a plastic bag on the shelf. Those were not where the scent had come from. We finally got it across that we were looking for what had just come out of the oven. And so she says, oh, 1 minute. And she left us, returned with two small cookie twists. They're known as kula rakia. And she presented each of us one as a gift. That's a Greek custom, offering a gift with no expectation of payment. They were warm and slightly sweet. So you get the picture, right? These are manna, melt-in-the-mouth manna from heaven. So we buy a few more fresh out of the oven. They did not make it back to our house. But a few days later, back at the house, after a little internet research, Kathy tried her hand at these simple little twists, kula rakia, the oil, honey, and flour twists with a little cinnamon, and they were just as delicious fresh out of the oven. But we discovered next day they were stale, weren't worth the calories. They held little interest. We returned twice more to that little bakery in Hora, but neither day were they cooking. And so we have, even now, a singular memory of that one day's delectable treat, and it is a prize gift for us. Memories. Memory is one of life's important meaning markers. It's how we reference our past and our present and even understand our future. It is an integral aspect of identity, memory is. And the most vigorous memories and most vivid memories are often laid down as memory makers, always pointing to a holy experience symbolized by them. We call it in the church sacramental memory. I'm reminded of Auden's sublime little poem, Precious Five. It's an ode to the five senses in which he concludes that our task in life is about blessing what there is for being, is engaging everything that creation offers us in our senses and bless it for its existence. We're to receive this experience of life, even the difficult ones, as opportunities to use those senses to see and touch and hear and taste and smell them as blessings and to bless them and to give thanks then, to have this connection with them of gratitude, because gratitude is what we were created to experience. It's how we're created to live. My memory of kula rakia, simple as it may be, maybe it can just serve as a minute little example that gives us a nexus into our scripture stories this morning of manna and the bread of life. In today's gospel, people have tracked down Jesus once again. They were hounds on the scent. They wanted more. Because a few verses earlier, we're told that he had fed them with remarkable generosity, with miraculous generosity. Thousands of them on a hillside. But they're hungry again the next day. And so they seek him out. They keep going till they find him, and they return and say, Jesus, give us some more of that. He sees it as a teaching moment for them and for us and offers a different invitation, not more of that same bread, that simple bread that will be stale soon thereafter, but offering the bread that lasts. Our gospel in the English says the bread that endures. The Greek word here in the text is meno, M-E-N-O. It is best understood as abiding. The bread of life which Jesus offers abides because it is about more than physical nourishment. It is intimate. It is relational. It is life-giving. It is sacramental. Elsewhere in John's gospel, he uses this same verb to describe the relationship that Jesus shares with God and with the Holy Spirit. It is an abiding relationship, intimate and personal and life-giving and sacramental. And here he is inviting us into that realm of holy and divine experience. He calls it eternal life. But you need to know that eternal life is just scriptural shorthand for this holy experience of abiding with the divine here and now, not just understood as something to be experienced downwind, downline, later, after life. And if we think about it, afterlife, that term's an oxymoron for people of faith. But we are to experience this abiding with the divine here and now as partakers of the bread and life, as ones who enact this memory here and now, week by week, so that we know sacramentally, we know in our bones that the abiding love of God is effusively given as a gift, simple, sweet, often subtly, always eternally. My friends, I've missed being at this table with you all. Let me say, I've missed being at this table with y'all. Precisely because I believe something holy happens here. The morsel of bread that you will get in a few moments, you can count the caloric content on just one hand, probably. Its nutritional value to the flesh will be burned off before you say your final amen in this service. Any leftovers would be stale by this time tomorrow. But we share this bread and trust that it's the bread of life. We share it in this moment, in this Eucharist, because we remember the poignant promise made by Jesus that the bread of life is offered freely as a gift to you and to me and to any who long for that abiding love of God. It is the bread that lasts. And we gather with Jesus and with his friends and with those ancient people in Galilee and with those who have gone before us here and those who are yet to come and people the world over. And we come together and remember. We remember the promise that Jesus has offered us. The Greek word for thank you, as I said, is ευχαριστώ. It's just a modern variant of the ancient word eucharisto, Eucharist, the Holy Eucharist. This is our meal of thanksgiving, the gifts of God given for the people of God, a holy experience which inspires us to move through life moment by moment with this deep and profound sense of gratitude, with thankfulness in our hearts and on our minds and on our lips, so that we might, as Auden suggests, bless everything that is simply for being and know the gratitude by which we live is the purpose for our being created. And for that, my friends, may God's holy name be praised. Amen.